Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Shift Church from All Saints Wellington. My name is Tim Carter. I'm the vicar at All Saints Wellington, and we've got about an hour's worth of prayer, Bible thinking, conversation, testimony, worship, all kinds of stuff. And you might be with us here live on Facebook now, and it's lovely to have you with us. And if you are live with us on Facebook, do take the opportunity to say hello in the comments stream. We'll pick up as many comments as we can as we go through, join in the conversation, put on prayer requests, whatever. But you might not be watching live. You might be catching up either on Facebook or YouTube video, or you might be listening to us on the podcast. And it's great to have you with us as well, wherever you are, whether you're at work or at home or at school, probably not at school at the moment, and or out for a run, walking the dog. And if you want to get in touch, contribute to the ongoing conversation week on week, you can email us tim@allsaints-wellington.org. It's not just me here this evening. We got some other people with us. Say hello, Lynn.
Hello.
Hello. And say hello, Liz.
Hello, Liz.
Hello, Liz. That was exciting. That was enthusiastic, Liz.
Well, there's a few people on the stream. Hi, Sandra and Sarah, Marguerite, Ali, Peter, Karen. It's great to see you all.
That's great. So how's the first week of lockdown been treating you guys?
I don't know. It hasn't changed very much for me.
It hasn't changed very much for me.
No, I mean, I have been shielding a little bit more this week and in terms of just a little bit more extremely than I was, but I hadn't been going out or anything, so it's not changed a lot. But I've not been very well anyway in the last month, so it's not been the greatest of weeks, as you know, Tim.
They don't. And what about you then? You say not much changed for you either.
Oh, I got out on Tuesday morning and I did a litter pick.
Ooh, where did you go litter picking?
James. Just in our street and to the spa. And it's amazing what we picked up.
I'm a bit confused because I would have thought that if everybody was locked down, there wouldn't be much litter.
Just go and do a walk in Wellington.
Well, I suppose
you'll be disavowed of that, I can tell you.
I haven't walked. Well, yeah, no, I haven't been out much either. So, no, I haven't seen. Oh, well, that's good. So you managed to de-litter some of the local area.
Not much, because I can't really reach in the wheelchair. It's rather difficult, and you always see something 3 foot further in the bushes, which would be unwise for me to. Because I'd probably fall in the bushes and that would be a bit of a disaster.
Oh, yeah. Right, there you go. Yeah, well, I wasn't expecting that answer. What about anybody on the stream got exciting things they've been doing this week in lockdown? Lockdown projects? Anybody taking on a New Year lockdown project?
Yes, do let us know. What
well, you see, that was my outdoor exercise, cardio workout and fresh air all in one.
Yeah, I'm afraid I cheat. I've got a exercise machine upstairs, so I don't even go out for my exercise. I do open the window, so I do get some fresh air.
That's cheating a bit.
What's exercise?
You could run around the front garden.
I could do laps of our garden. I could be like Captain Tom.
It's quite a big garden.
Slightly less impressive, probably, than Captain Tom.
Sarah says she's struggling. Sarah Kat says she's struggling. Could she ask for prayer? So we'll pray for you in the prayers, Sarah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry to hear that. It's really tough at the minute, isn't it? In so many ways, lots of people.
It is. And partly because we know it's tough at the moment, we thought we'd start with a bit of a spoken word piece with a bit of music in the background. And if you're watching the video, there'll be some pictures to go alongside it as well. You may have come across this before. It's called The Father's Love Letter, and it's made up of lots of kind of verses and half verses from the Bible put together in the form of a letter from God to you, his children. And it's a little bit cheesy, let's be honest, but at times like this, sometimes a bit of cheese is what you need. Just to let these words wash over you. the truths of the Bible, the way God sees you, and to comfort us. So we thought that'd been a good way to start this evening. Just, or might not be this evening, you might be at work listening to this, just to take a bit of space to breathe, to quiet your heart and your mind, and receive some of the truth that God wants to speak over you. So I've got a slightly different setup this evening, so I need to work out how to make this work, but I think it'll be all right. I'm going to share my screen so everybody can see, and we're going to listen to this. Here we go. There you go. No, those have unticked, but now that's all right. Okay. Hi, guys. Apparently, it's not working. I'm really sorry about that. Liz has just, because I'd muted myself and cut off my video so I couldn't see it. Liz has just had to run downstairs to tell me it wasn't working. Did any of it work at all?
Nope.
No, you're still on
mute. What was the blank screen?
Oh, hold on. I've muted that. Hold on. That doesn't work. Did you even get any images?
No, nothing.
Okay, right. Well, it is good. So I'm going to give it one more go. I'm just going to take it back to the beginning, but I'm going to stay on so that...
I've muted myself.
So Lynn can tell me whether it's working or not. So here we go. Sorry about that. If you just got 20 seconds of silence at home or on the podcast, that was a bit weird for you. But I am going to give it another go because it is
good. Liz is probably still climbing the stairs.
Yeah, well, I hope she takes her time. Here we go. There we go.
I was kind of touched on being in the chat, but...
My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways.
So is it working this time? Unmute, Lynn. You're on mute.
Yeah, it's
working. Working this time.
Yes.
Great. Okay. Oh, I'm going to keep it going then.
Okay.
Great.
Even the very hairs on your head are numbered, for you were made in my image. In me, you live and move and have your being, for you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul. And I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. For it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine. for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I love that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father, and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your Dad, Almighty God.
So I hope that's been a blessing for you this evening. If you'd like to read the text of that, just Google Father's Love Letter. There's a whole website dedicated to it. There's other videos of it. And there's a text, and you can see where all the Bible verses come from. So I hope that's encouraged you this evening. And I'm really sorry for the slight hiccup at the beginning of it.
I love that, although it's rather cheesily presented. It's all got all those timeless truths in it that we really need to remind ourselves. You know, that God is for us. He does love us.
Yes, absolutely. So this evening, as I said last week, we're exploring being spirit-led. And in a little while, we'll have some video from Nick exploring that for us. But we've got some Bible readings first. So I think, Lynn, are you going to read for us from Romans, probably, I think? Paul's letter to the church in Rome.
Yeah.
What are you reading for us exactly?
Okay. This is from the NIV, and it's Romans 8, verses 12 to 17. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that made you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. By him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if you are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Thanks be to God.
Amen. And we get the real echoes there of the Father, love of God, don't we?
Yeah. Father, Son.
That's one of the things that spirit-led people realise, is that they're adopted as children of God. Yeah. It's almost like it's connected or something.
I know. Can you believe it?
I know. So our second Bible reading is from, Liz is going to read from Galatians, is it, Liz?
Yeah, it's Galatians 5, verse 16 to 26. And I'm also reading from the NIV. Galatians 5, 16 to 26. So I live by the Spirit. And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other.
Amen. Thank you. So we've got a bit more video now, and those of you on the podcast, you're going to be listening. This is Nick Brook, our parish mission enabler, exploring some of these ideas of being led by the Spirit and what that means for us. I'm going to try and keep track of it to make sure it works, this one. That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Well, good morning, and welcome back to the Man Cave. Well, last Sunday, Tim spoke about the current state of All Saints and how the lockdown has changed the way that we worship together as a church community. And he mentioned that several groups have been unable to gather either in person or online. They've just kind of ceased altogether, like the toddler groups and Oasis, for example. And now we're entering a season where we have to discern as a community how and when do we start offering some of these services again. And will some ever start back up again? But how we may never look the same after all these restrictions are removed. But I just wonder if we're spending too much time maybe focusing on how we do church. Like, what sort of services should we have, or who should our services be serving? Because it seems to me that we struggle to imagine that church can be so much more than whatever services we are doing. As we are the church. Church isn't something that we can just do, it's who we are. I mean, no one ever says, I'm doing human. Like, no, that just sounds dumb. Like, everything I do is because I'm a human. I eat, I sleep, and I don't say when I'm going to bed, I'm going to go do human. No, I just say I'm going to bed, because going to bed is what humans do. And even if maybe one day the stones of our church buildings just crumble, and maybe even one day services like this will just become a distant memory, like they'll no longer exist. Even if those things happen, the church itself will never cease. Because the church is the community of people who are in Christ Jesus. So if you are a follower of Jesus, then you are a member of the community that is the church. Church is who we are collectively. It's not something we can do. And in Matthew 16, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And if Jesus is building his church, then it will continue to go on with or without us or our services, because he is building a community of people who will follow him. So, if the church is a community being built, formed, and shaped by Jesus, then shouldn't our main concern, especially in times like this, be where is he leading us? Because we no longer know exactly what to do, how to be and act as the church. So please, let's try to take our eyes off of our services and what we can do for a while. And let's consider the fact that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ. We are a community of people who have heard the call to follow Jesus. And that is so much more important and defines who we are so much more than anything we could ever do. So, this has just kind of been a long introduction to a new and very timely sermon series, looking at one of our core values, which is exploring. Because we believe that we are a community that has been called to explore. Explore these ideas of what it means to be the church. Explore the works of the Holy Spirit and try to discern what God is up to and where he's leading us. And as part of this exploring, makeup of who we are, we believe that we are a community that's being led by the Holy Spirit. So what does it look like to be led by the Holy Spirit? Well, in our Romans and Galatians reading this morning, Paul describes this inner tension that those who walk by the Spirit experiences. He said, "For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do." And I think one of the common ways in which we can tend to interpret Scripture like this is to view the Holy Spirit as sort of a moral police, so to speak. I mean, and Jesus did say that one of the works of the Holy Spirit will be to convict the world of sin. So we can read something like this and view the Holy Spirit as being a God that continually but lovingly nags us at and likes to point out our flaws. But I hope this isn't your view, because if it is, then it just means, well, you're going to be crushed by trying harder and harder to live up to this God's standards, or you're going to just turn your back on this God and admit that you can't do it and you don't even want to attempt it. Either way, if this is how you read Scripture like this, and if this is your view of God, well, it's not going to end well. But don't worry, because God's not like this, and you shouldn't interpret Scripture like this in that way. Because there's no whiff of the gospel in it. And an image that has really helped me recently is seeing Scripture like this that points out that inner tension between spirit and flesh in a more gospel-centric way. Well, it goes way back to the creation story, the story of the fallen man. In Genesis 3, after Adam and Eve had eaten the fruit of the forbidden tree, they instantly knew that they had done something wrong. And the Bible describes their response like, all of a sudden, they realized that they were naked. That doesn't just mean that suddenly they thought, oh man, I'm naked, I better go put something on. Like, no, this is describing that moment of shame and humiliation because of their weakness, the weakness of the flesh. So they cover up and try to hide from God. And isn't that still kind of what we struggle with today? You know, we like to gather together in our Sunday best, but not really our true selves. But well, back to the creation story. So the Bible then describes God searching for Adam. So God's first response after man's first sin was, "Adam, where are you?" So God sought after Adam at his moment of weakness. So it's not sin and weakness of our flesh that doesn't separate us from God. In our weakness, we turn our back on him, and we don't want to face him as we truly are, as our naked selves with nothing to hide. But that's precisely where God wants to meet us, not to shame us, but to embrace us and empower us. Like this morning's reading, "You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption of sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." So this is what it looks like, to the best of my understanding, to be a community that is led by the Holy Spirit. It starts from the place of weakness. As we are a community of people that recognize that we are helpless on our own. We are weak. We are easily tempted and influenced by whatever the world tells us. And oftentimes we even look an awful lot like the rest of the world. But the greatest gift that we've been given because of our weakness is the Bible. Because it not only describes our weakness, but also describes a God that meets us in our weakness and seeks to do great things through us just as we are. Now, one of the more practical ways in which we can be a community that is led by the Spirit is also by listening to one another. You know, because I assume that the Holy Spirit is at work in you just like he is in me, and he's revealing more things about himself and about me, and I'm assuming he's doing the same through you. So we need to listen to one another. So I'm going to attempt to do something in the coming weeks that I hope will work as a platform for us to try and discern where God is leading us as a community and reflect on the ways in which we engage in mission. So I'm working on a podcast that will be for the people of All Saints. You know, just thinking and praying through some of these issues, like what it means to be the church, and how do we discern our mission as a church, and so on. So my prayer is that these episodes will raise questions and start a conversation that will prevent us from doing church the way that it has always been done, but rather collectively seek where God is leading us as a community. So be looking out for some more information on this. I'll be sending it out pretty soon. So, yeah. Well, as a close, let me just close with a quick prayer. Lord, thank you that you meet us in our weakness. And instead of shame, we can experience empowerment and love. And thank you for all the ways that you work in us and through us. And thank you in advance for wherever it is you may be leading us. Amen.
Amen. That was good stuff Nick shared with us for the first time on Sunday morning, but good for us to be able to revisit now, or some of you might be hearing it for the first time. And this idea about listening to each other is something that's at the heart of Shift Church. So we're going to have a bit of a conversation here now on screen. If you're with us live, do join in the conversation on the stream with your comments. Liz will probably pick those up and throw them in. I've got an email to share with us a bit later as part of this. And if you've got things that you want to email about, do email me, tim@allsaints-wellington.org. Probably won't pick them up this evening, but we can drop them into next week's podcast and stream. So, yeah. What are your thoughts? What do you think? What grabbed you from the Bible readings or from what Nick was saying?
Well, of course, I listened to it first on the Sunday. And at the time, I think I said, bang on the nail, you know, we have to be church and not do church, and we the people are the church, not just the building. But what hit me this time as I was reading it, and I was thinking, yeah, because all of us here on the Zoom and on Facebook are who we are because of our faith. Tim does his job because of his faith. Nick the same. I'm sure Liz writes out of her faith, you know, because of her faith. I'm passionate about what I'm passionate about because of my faith. It's not either or, mm-hmm. or two separate halves of me. The one's because of the other.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's about being integrated people, isn't it?
Yeah.
About not having compartments. You have a faith in a box over here, and then you have this bit of your life over here, or this bit of life. It's about,
yeah,
as individuals having faith going all the way through our lives, but as a community also having faith joining us together.
Yeah,
that very much kind of chimes with what was standing out to me, which was all about how you talked about how Adam and Eve were ashamed and how they hid away from God, and talked about how asked us the question, do we sometimes do that as well? Do we sometimes hide our true selves away from God, hide that, you know, our naked selves away from God and from one another as well, and maybe even compartmentalize you know, the parts of us we don't want God to see, or we don't want each other to see. Oh no, we can put those over there, and we'll just keep this bit for church. We'll just keep this bit for church community, but that bit could stay over there. Thank you very much. Do we do that? And that's a challenge for us all, I think. Just honestly before God, and removing any masks that we put on, and being real. You know, it's really important to be real with one another as well as with God.
I think being a Christian, it just informs your whole worldview. So it's your worldview of the what, creation, politics, other people. It colours everything. So you can't sort of have you can't take Jesus out of the equation. Really? I'm struggling with a way to say it, really.
Yeah. David, a little bit about listening to the Spirit, and he said, I do think that too many Christians are unsure if they can hear God speak to them personally through his Spirit. Maybe they think God would never speak to them, or why would God speak to me? But actually, we can only truly be church if we, like Jesus, do what we see the Father doing. And we do this by, I think, listening to what he's up to and listening to what he might want us to do.
Mm. Yeah. And there's different ways we can. Yeah, because you can only. If you're Spirit led, then the implication is that you're following the Holy Spirit, and you can only follow what you can see or hear.
Yeah.
I think there's the listening part. We need to listen more. And I'm count myself in on that, because I'm terrible at hearing the Spirit.
Yeah. And David reminds us here that Satan in the Garden of Eden, the oldest trick in the book is the devil whispering in our ear that we can't really hear God speaking to us. And that's true. Sometimes I think that we hear that voice louder than we hear God's voice, and so it overcomes God's voice because we allow that voice be louder, that voice saying, no, you're not really hearing God.
And then there's various ways we can hear the Spirit. Nick talked about reading the Bible and the way that speaks, the Holy Spirit speaks through the Bible to us. We hear through conversations with other Christians, and sometimes we hear directly. We have words of knowledge or pictures or dreams, just senses that we ought to do something.
I remember a long time ago, it was when my kids were small, and they're all grown up now, and I was going through a bit of a dry patch, I suppose, spiritually, and I couldn't really hear God at all. And what I did was, I think somebody gave me the idea, was listen to Christian music. Now, this is how long ago it was. I had a tape recorder in the kitchen. That's how long ago it was. And we used to play Christian tapes, because prior to that, I'd just been washing up and looking at a brick wall, which doesn't get your mind to go anywhere good. And I started listening to tapes when I was in the Christian. This was when the kids were very little. So obviously you're spending a lot of time in the kitchen then. And that helped.
Yeah. You sound surprised, Lynn.
Well, I suppose I was at the time. I mean, this is some years, 30 years ago, like.
Yeah.
A couple of thoughts on a stream. Karen says we have to accept waiting as well, and I think that is true sometimes.
Yes.
Sometimes we are just called to wait. Wait on God. And that can take a while. It can be painful.
Right, I said a week ago, there was a garden analogy, wasn't there? And some fruits only fruit in the second year. It's a garden analogy.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's the long game.
Yeah.
Patience. It might seem like these things are going and being shut down, but in the long term, there'll be fruit from them. But we don't know it. You know, we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. And a couple more things. Ali says what Nick was saying about church not being a building, but us, really jumped out at her. She's found online church and this group more real than some physical churches. She really does feel part of the church community despite the physical distance, which is amazing, isn't it? That's really what we're...
That's good.
Church. Peter asked the question about Christians who vote for Donald Trump, are they listening to the Holy Spirit?
Well, actually, let's because Peter emailed me in advance about this. And this was the email I was going to bring in. So let me just get up the email I had on this, which was this. A difficulty I grapple with is that I see fellow Christians 110% confident the choices they make in life are being guided by the Holy Spirit, and yet others, also Spirit-filled, make completely opposite choices. Elections and referenda are a couple of examples. There are loads of examples, both past and present, in society of Christians generally behaving contrary to biblical teaching. Loving one's neighbour, for instance, is a key one. We're all sinners, after all. Is it not presumptuous of us to be 100% certain that an action or a decision is Spirit-led? So up to now, we've been talking perhaps a bit more about character stuff and those kind of things. But what about being led in decisions? And is it possible for Christians? How do Christians disagree well? Is it possible for people who are genuinely being Spirit-led to vote different ways and to think different things?
It's difficult, isn't it? And I think we're seeing a lot of disagreement at the moment with all things COVID and election and Brexit, and just everything at the moment is causing a lot of dissension and between Christians as well.
Well, I think there will be different opinions because we're human.
Yeah.
And we've come from a variety of different places and had a variety of different experiences, which will colour that viewpoint, even amongst Christians. I get frustrated with that after the business days.
On the democracy one specifically, I occasionally do, when I'm thinking about this, I do a bit of thought experiment and think, if everybody in the country was a Christian and voted exactly the way the Holy Spirit was directing them, would we expect one party to get 100% majority?
I don't think we'd...
And would that actually be good for the country?
I don't think any of them would get...
No, okay, fair enough. But thought experiment, would that actually be good for the country? Or is actually God in God's wisdom inspires by the Spirit and Christians to actually... be members of different parties and to vote different ways so that we get a body politic which is actually representative and has some of that tension in it. I mean, I'm not saying this is definitely right, but I really struggle to imagine, even if everybody in the country was a Christian and everybody voted as God inspired them, that would mean that 100% of votes went to one party, because I can't imagine that being good for the country.
Yeah,
that does beg the question of what about other faiths?
Yeah, maybe we'll do that another week.
Being good for the country, because then it would end up being oppressive in some way, because if one party had such a majority, I don't think it would do good in terms of power politics and things. I just can't see the balance working. But it is difficult when you see a party get into power that seems to be more oppressive than another party might be, and... it's not naming names.
I think we have to hold up the values, don't we? Truth, justice.
Exactly. Yeah.
And think, is this person and what they stand for, are they upholding the values of, you know, truth, justice, fairness? And if they're not, I struggle with thinking, what is it? You're just grabbing power for power's sake.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I wonder whether one of the important words in Peter's email was the word presumptuous and confidence. And I wonder if it, on both sides, there's a place for that humility of kind of, if I'm claiming that I'm never wrong, I'm claiming I'm 100% right about everything, and that, however sure I'm about stuff, I have to say personally that I know that I'm wrong about some stuff. If I knew what stuff I was wrong about, it, I'd change my mind. But I don't know at the moment. In time, I may come to know. In heaven, God will probably show me. I know I'm wrong about some stuff. I just don't know what yet.
But if the situations where people are really being hurt, let's take Nazi Germany as an example, you could surely say
Hitler was evil.
This is Christ's way in this. That you rather than sort of going with the government line or whatever at the time, and some of the COVID narrative as well. I think it's causing people harm when people call it a hoax. So there are situations where you can see. I think that you can see where the Holy Spirit is speaking, and that you should speak truth is what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
Truth, and it's also okay to have righteous anger over those things.
Oh yeah, I agree on that one.
Absolutely. So we could go on for a while on this one, obviously. Yeah. But thank you, Peter, for emailing that, because it's prompted a really good bit of conversation. So if others of you have emails or thoughts you want to email in, either because you're catching up on video or podcast later, tim@allsaints-wellington.org. Just wanted to spend a minute or two telling you about some stuff we want to pull together. We'd really love to hear from folk out there about what kind of resources you're finding helpful in your discipleship in lockdown or in life in general. We'd love little either video or email or just audio. If you don't want to appear on the video, send us an audio review. But reviews of books or music, as Lynn was saying, or other podcasts. We're not precious. We're quite happy to point people towards other podcasts of things that have been inspiring you, helping you grow in your faith, challenging you, whatever, really. But resources that we can share together as part of listening to each other, share with each other to encourage each other, build each other up in our faith at this time. So, send us some reviews of some good stuff. That'd be really great. And we'll share them with everybody. So to lead us into prayer, we've got a bit of music, worship song. Hopefully it'll do for you listening out there, watching out there, what those tapes did for Lynn in her kitchen all those years ago. Just inspire you, give you a bit of hope, and enable you to hear the Holy Spirit speaking into your life this evening. I've just got to make it work. Here we go. Hold on. Not yet. There we go. And now I think I've got it working. Hey. My faith will stand. So over to Lynn for some prayer.
Hi. I'm just going to start by reading a psalm antiphon for the Holy Spirit. These are from the words of Hildegard of Bingen, who was a 12th century mystic. The Holy Spirit, living and life-giving, the life that's all things moving, the root in all created being, of filth and muck it washes all things clean, outscrubbing guilty staining, its balm our wounds constraining, and so its life with praise is shining, rousing and reviving all. Lord, we pray today, we pray for America. We see division and disagreement everywhere. And it's frightening and alarming. But we pray, Lord, that cooler heads will rule and that people would remember the reason that they were elected, the reasons that they have democracy, and that they will put away those childish ambitions. There is so much good happening in America, Lord, that we don't hear about. The mainstream media just report on the divisiveness, and we just pray that we would find those good stories, the good news in America. It's a vast country, Lord, and I'm sure that there are wise, good, spirit-led people doing a great deal of good, and we wish to hear about that, Lord. Mm. And we wish to be, we wish to encourage them, Lord. We pray in this country and all over the world, Lord, we pray for doctors and nurses, for the NHS, who are under such strain, Lord. Pray for everybody dealing with COVID at the moment, for the people who are ill. We pray for them, Lord. For doctors, nurses, people who work in ICU, for care staff in care homes, and for those who are in charge of rolling out vaccinations. People are working really, really hard, Lord, and they need our support. We pray, Lord, that you'll be with them, that you'll give them strength to lift them up and carry on when they're feeling downbeaten and tired and exhausted. We pray, Lord, this is the year of COP26, and yet the world seems to be heading for a rise of 3 degrees, which is really, really serious. We pray, Lord, because this will affect our world in all its fragile being. We pray that amongst COVID and Brexit, people will not forget that there's a larger issue at stake here. And we pray for the work of CAP, Christians Against Poverty. They have been finding it a struggle, as all voluntary organisations have these last 2 years, and the situation has made their work harder. But we pray for their work, Lord. It's much needed in this situation. We pray for all those taking food parcels, food banks, the interfaith mission, all of those taking food parcels to schools and to those in need. We pray for the economy of our community, Lord. For those losing their jobs, those who are furloughed, for the small businesses who are struggling, for those working in larger businesses, working in supermarkets, feeling a bit overwhelmed by people, possibly. Pray for all those key workers in whatever area, health, retail, so many others, Lord. Teaching. Pray for our teachers, Lord. Struggling to get their heads around new technology. Some of them going into schools. And we pray for parents, Lord. Trying to homeschool and manage children of different ages, different abilities. It's hard for them, Lord. We pray for Sarah and for anybody else who is struggling, Lord, who is finding it difficult. Pray for carers who are caring for a member of their family, especially under lockdown. It's hard. You're with a person 24/7. And there's no let up. And there doesn't seem a light at the end of the tunnel. We pray for people in that situation, Lord.
Yeah. Any other particular prayers on the stream that you want to share with us, Liz?
I think Lynn's covered the one that there was one about homeschooling. I just want to pray for, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to think about how we speak with one another, even when we disagree, and help us to remember kindness towards one another, and to model your grace in all our conversations. Even when it's tough. And I pray that you just help us to just to show your love to one another in the way that we speak, and in the way that we gently disagree, even when that's tough, Lord.
Amen. Thanks, Lynn, that was lovely. I really like that, Hildegard of Bingham.
Yeah.
Google Hildegard of Bingham. She was a good egg.
That was quite strange, really, because I think it was on Monday night I got up. I was a bit of indigestion, and I just thought, I've got to sit here and just read for a bit. And I pulled out this, which I'd just received from Green Christian, and there's some poetry on the one page, and it was just quite random. It was about like 2 o'clock in the morning. And I just received your email, I think, about, you know, spoken word things. And I thought, ooh, that's really, really relevant. Because I heard Nick's talking about the Holy Spirit. And the idea of, it was the bit you read, Liz, you know, the filth and muck, it washes all things clean.
Is there out scrubbing, out staining or something line? I really like that.
Out scrubbing, guilty staining, it's balm our wounds constraining.
I love that. Out scrubbing our guilty staining.
Yes, and I thought, that's quite good.
That's really good.
And short enough to read, so I thought.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant.
It was totally random because they sort of sent me 2 magazines and I pulled this one out. And I mean, it's from last year. So how, it's like, it was one of those God incidences.
It's almost like you were spirit-led, Lynn.
Yes.
You who find it difficult to hear from God, but
yeah, I know.
Even then, you do. And that was great. Thank you for sharing that. So we're going to draw to a close in a mo. Lovely to have you with us if you've been on the stream. Lovely to have you with us if you've been on podcast or catching up. Do email us, tim@allsaints-wellington.org, with reviews of things that have been helpful for you. And if, like Lynn, you've come across a poem that you think's really helpful, send it in and we'll share it. The more of this stuff that you guys provide, the less I have to do, which is always a bonus. So good night, everybody. God bless. And next week we're continuing to think about this value of exploring we have as a church, and we're thinking about openness. So that's what we're thinking about next week. So say goodbye, Liz.
Goodbye, Liz.
Say goodbye, Lynn.
Goodbye, Lynn.
And it's goodbye from me. God bless everybody.
It's goodbye from him. Two Ronnies.